we had already mentioned them: simple, slothful, and presumptuous. It goes on to say, I saw then, and I'm reading from the book, I saw then in my dream that Christian went on his way. That is, until he came to the bottom of the hill. There he saw beside the way three men fast asleep with chains and fetters attached to their heels. The name of one was Simple. Another was Sloth. Give me one moment as we, I think we may have this. If we got it up, we'll go ahead and go with it. Amen. If not, hey, praise the Lord, we're going to go with it. Either way. Either way. All right, I'll start over. If it pops up, we'll just go with it. I saw then in my dream that Christian went on his way. That is, until he came to the bottom of the hill. There he saw beside the way three men fast asleep with chains and fetters attached to their heels. The name of one was Simple, another was Sloth, and the third was Presumption. Upon Christian seeing these pilgrims dozing on the ground, he approached them with the hope that he might be able to awaken them. So he exhorted them, you are like those who fall asleep at the top of a mast, for the Dead Sea is under you. That is a gulf that has no bottom. Therefore, arouse yourselves and be on the move. If you are willing, I will also help you to be relieved of your shackles. He also told them, if he who prowls about like a roaring lion should come by, you will certainly become prey for his teeth. So he's warning them. These three men that are fast asleep. Now, he says he saw them fast asleep, and what was attached to their legs, to their feet? Fetters and chains. Keep that in your mind. It goes on to say, to this, they merely glanced at him and replied in the following unconcerned manner. Simple naively answered, what does he say? Let's read. Keep reading. I do not see any danger, Sloth mumbled. The next one says, just let me have a little more sleep. Then Presumptuous proudly asserted, every tub must stand upon its own bottom, meaning without the need of assistance. So what else need I say? And so they all lay down to sleep again while Christian decided it would be better to go on his way. Who do these three characters represent? Who do these three characters represent? This is fun. These three strangers represent the religious persons who are characterized by religious indifference, or what? Lack of interest. It says they are entirely indifferent to religion and religious things. However, they do not give up religion. They are not atheists, but with them, there is no need for urgency. Simple. I see no danger. If you got your Bibles, please turn to Psalms 135. Psalms 135, verses 16 and 17. When you're there, please say amen. Psalms 135, verse 16 and 17. Amen? 135, 16 and 17. The Bible says, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. Simple. There's one thing we got to understand is when the Bible speaks of simple, you know, today it has a different meaning. But to be called a simpleton, back in those days, it was not a compliment. If a person was simple, we're going to see that that's not a good thing. Simple would say, what's that to me? I need to take care of more important matters at the current. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Mark 8, Mark chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, "And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do not you remember?" You see, a simpleton is not lacking in mental capacity. They just don't take anything seriously. You see, the simple just sit around and do nothing. And when I mean nothing, what I mean is when it comes to learning and understanding about the things of God. Question, and this will be on your quiz. How does the Bible describe a simple person? You can write it down. I'm giving you questions. How does the Bible describe a simple person? One more time. How does the Bible describe a simple person? Proverbs 1, verses 22 through 25. Let's get there. Proverbs 1, 22 through 25. We ready? Proverbs 1, 22 through 25. "How long, ye simple ones, will you love your simplicity? And the scorners delight in their mourning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." Verse 29, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You see, a type of person like this, simply just, they do not put forth any effort to find out what thus saith the Lord is. Yes, they quote unquote believe in God. But when it comes to spiritual things, or when the word of truth is going forward, they do not check to see if what the man up front is truly telling the truth. Brothers and sisters, we need to be doing that all of the time. All the time. Let's turn a little bit further. Proverbs chapter 7. You're in chapter 1. Let's go to Proverbs 7 and verse 7. The Bible says, And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of what? Understanding. No understanding. Simpletons just do not understand. And it is not that they don't have the capability to understand, but they just do not apply themselves to understand. It is like the Adventist that has all of the little red books, but have not read one. Simple-minded, brothers and sisters. Simple-minded. Question number two. But what happens to the simple in a crisis? Question number two. What happens to the simple in a crisis? Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Are we there, amen? The Bible says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but look at what the simple do. But the simple pass on and are what? And are punished." You see, brothers and sisters, it is not good to be simple, because the simpleton in a crisis will find himself destroyed. We cannot be simple-minded men and women. We cannot just rely on other people to do our learning for us. These SAS studies are for you to check up on myself, Elder Gomez, and every other presenter that stands up here. For although it may sound truth, you need to make sure that it is sound truth. Amen? Amen. Because the Satan's greatest asset is his power to deceive. And if that joker can take a third of perfect angels, guess what? We better buckle our safety belts and have our Bibles right up under our arms. Amen? Question number three. What will eventually happen to Simple and his simplicity? Let's turn Proverbs chapter 1, going back to it. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 31 through 32. Proverbs chapter 1, 31 and 32, the Bible says, "Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." We do not want to be simple children of God. Amen? Simple. Leave him alone. What about that next character? Sloth or slothful. A little more sleep. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And I want you to see that when Bunyan was writing, he was going through Proverbs when he came to these three men. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. Are we there? The Bible says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." Now, at least slothful, unlike simple, has put forth some kind of effort to prepare. But let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. 24, everyone's there, correct? 32. 31, excuse me. "And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." So slothful, brothers and sisters, knows the truth, understands the truth, but he makes no effort to prepare. He's lazy. Slothful says, "Settle down, young man. Yes, I know Jesus is coming, but not today. Settle down. There's still a lot of time left." These characters sound familiar, don't they? You see, slothful says, wait a minute, I got more time. I got plenty of time. Jesus is not coming soon. He thinks he has more time than he actually does. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" How we cannot be neglectful, brothers and sisters. God has given us much warning. He has given us much testimony on what needs to be done. But are we slothful? Or are we simple and have not even read and found out, God, what are we supposed to do? In James 4:17, what does the Bible tell us? James 4:17, let's go there. "For he that knoweth to do good, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is" what? It is sin. And it simply continues to amaze me that all that we see on the television in regards to politics and in regards to what's going on, it seems like much of the spiritual perception in the world abroad and even within the church is growing dim and dim and dim. Where's the earnestness? Where is it at? Sloth. And that third character, what was his name? Presumption. Now, these words were funny to me. Every tub must stand upon its own bottom. Every tub must stand upon its own bottom. Let's please turn Proverbs chapter 20, Excuse me, let's go to Psalms. Psalms 19, verse 13, and I'm going to ask the question. So another question. Psalms 19 and verse 13. When there, please say amen. Psalms 19 and verse 13. The question is, what was David's prayer in regards to presumption? What was David's prayer in regards to presumption? Psalms 19, verse 13, it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. David said, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins, Lord. Presumption. Presumption is someone who trusts in something that they really do not know of. They say things like this. He was fine until Christian came along with his unwanted advice, and he is eager to send Christian on his way and go back into his spiritual coma. In other words, Christian, what? Mind your own business. Mind your own business. He likes to quote sayings like, I don't need your advice. I don't need the spirit of prophecy. The Holy Spirit will guide me. Mind your own business. In regards to last day events, he says, preacher, I hear what you're saying. I know you always say I need to prepare, but God says my bread and water is sure. But when you ask them to show you where that verse is in the Bible, they do not know. Question. Are we to be concerned about our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith? Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, we are, brothers and sisters. Yes, we are. And turn it over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Excuse me, chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift his fellow up. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. You see, family, trouble is coming. And these three characters dwell in every single church. But we have to ask ourselves, am I one of those three stooges? Am I slothful? Am I presumptuous? And who was the other one? Am I simple? Do I let someone do all the studying for me? Although I have my own Bible, and I have all those little red books on my shelf. Do I pursue the world thinking that I still have all the time in the world before Jesus comes? Is my eagerness gone? Has my zeal burned out? And the third thing is don't tell me anything. I don't need your help. I hear what you're saying, young man, but wait until you get a few more degrees and a few more years under your belt. Brothers and sisters, all three of these attitudes dwell within each and every church. And we must ask ourselves again, is that my attitude? Time is running out, and we cannot afford to allow these three individuals to slow us down. Notice that as Christian is on his journey, he runs into these men and he tries to help them, but each one has his own philosophy. Spirit of Prophecy says in Last Day Events 127, paragraph 3, there are many who are at ease, who are as it were asleep. They say if prophecy has foretold the enforcement of Sunday observance, the law will surely be enacted. And having come to this conclusion, they sit down in a calm expectation of the event, confronting themselves with the comforting, themselves with the thought that God will protect his people in the day of trouble. But God will not save us if we make no effort to do the work he has committed to our charge. Do you see all three of those individuals in that statement? All three. Continuing. We as a people have not accomplished the work that God has committed to us. We are not ready for the issue to which the enforcement of the Sunday law will bring us. It is our duty as we one see the signs, simple, of approaching peril, to two, arouse to action, let none sit in a calm expectation of the evil, comforting themselves with the three, belief that this work must go on because prophecy has foretold it and that the Lord will shelter his people. All three characters again in that same statement. All three. It says, we are not doing the will of God if we sit in quietude, doing nothing to preserve liberty of conscience. Fervent, effectual prayer should be ascending to heaven that this calamity may be deferred until we can accomplish the work which has so long been neglected. I don't know about you, but I have been praying, Lord, give me more time so I can reach my family. Lord, please hold back the winds. You know, I know that many of us, all of us, are anticipating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, I don't want to go alone. I got a mother, I got a father, and I still got my brothers and sisters that are living. And I want to see them in the kingdom as well. So you got to forgive me if I'm praying, Lord, hold. Lord, hold. I went over to my father and mother's house yesterday. Today's her birthday. And we went over to home, and my dad was reading a book. And he said, son, I'm reading a book. It's interesting. And I said, what you got there, Dad? He said, it's the book of Enoch. My brother Gomez is laughing because he knows where that book came from. And I know where it came from, too. And my heart was pierced. So this young man said, I said, Dad, I got a better book for you. I said, let me run to the house and go get it. And so I ran to the house, and I was looking for the book. My wife is she can vouch for me. I was looking for the book. I said, I got an extra one around here somewhere, brand new. And so I found it. And my wife, she says, you know what? I'll take it on my way to hear the speaker that was going to be here Friday. Well, yesterday, last night, she forgot it. And so I was in study. I was preparing for this morning to speak. And I got up, the Holy Spirit impressed me to get up, look on the kitchen counter, and there was the book. I dropped everything, and I went and I delivered that book to my dad. Brothers and sisters, are we like those three individuals? Have we become like them? Are we slothful? Are we simple? Are we presumptuous? It says, fervent, effectual prayer should be ascending to heaven that this calamity may be deferred until we can accomplish the work which has so long been neglected. Let there be most earnest prayer, and then let us work in harmony with our prayers. Counsels for the Churches 335. Remember those chains. They were around those three men's what? They were around the three men's feet, ankle area. All right? The chains and fetters. When you fast forward in that book, now Christian has been on this journey by himself, but he has been praying for his wife and children, and they now pick up the journey later than Christian. He's a little bit further. And now his wife and children come across the same ground where he passed those three men. But look at the difference. It says, we fast forward in the book. Listen. Now I saw still in my dream that they went on until they were come to the place that simple sloth and presumption lay and slept in. So his wife and children are now passing over the same ground. When Christiana, that's his wife, went by on a pilgrimage, and behold, they were hanged up in irons a little way off on the other side. When we first saw them, where were the chains? Look at where the chains are now. Then said Mercy, who was their guide, to him that was their guide and conductor, what are those three men, and for what are they hanged there? Great Heart says, these three men were men of very bad qualities. They had no mind to be pilgrims themselves, and whosoever they could, they hindered. They were for sloth and folly themselves, and whosoever they could persuade with, they made so too, and withal taught them to presume that they should do well at last. They were asleep when Christian went by, and now ye go by, they are what? They are hanged. They are hanged. Mercy. But could they persuade any to be their opinion? Could simple sloth and presumption persuade any to believe the way they believed? Yes, they turned several. They turned several out of the way, and they go on and say, like who? Now, I didn't put it on here until last minute. But if you want to look up those names in the Bible, it'll blow you away. Some of the names of the people they persuaded were slow pace, taking their time. Another one was short wind, can't keep up. Another one was no heart. Another one was lingered after lust. Another one was sleepy head. And another one was young woman dull. I challenge you to go back and find all those characters in the Bible. It will open your eyes. Note, when Christiana and her fellow pilgrims came upon this place, the three men are no longer asleep, but are hanged up in their irons. Listen to what our Father Care says. It says, the time of trouble, such as never was, is soon to open upon us, and we shall need an experience which we do not now possess, and which many are too indolent to obtain. It is often the case that trouble is greater in anticipation than in reality, but this is not true of the crisis before us. The most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that a crisis is coming. I'm here to tell you that we cannot take SAS lightly. When we are learning about the sanctuary, get in your Bibles. Do not let simple, slothful, and presumptuous to deter you from reading the Word of God. Do not allow anyone to deter you from coming here. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you have an unction to go, go. We are learning very important truths, brothers and sisters. The last 2 weeks have been an extreme blessing, amen? And they're only going to get better. We are learning about what our Lord and Savior, our High Priest, is doing in the heavenly sanctuary. And guess what? He's wrapping this thing up. We cannot be simple-minded people. We have a vault full of wisdom and knowledge given to us by our loving Savior, and He does not want anyone to perish. Reading on. Listen to what Christian said. Even so, Christian was troubled to think, this is after Christian left. He was troubled to think that men in such obvious danger should so lightly regard the kindness of He who freely offered them assistance. That is, by volunteering to help them be relieved of their shackles. Brothers and sisters, we only trying to help. I don't want to be lost, do you? And I don't want my family lost, and I don't want you lost. So family, when it comes down to it, when God wakes you up, I don't know about you, but he's been waking me and my wife up at the earliest of times. It's one of the reasons why I love summertime, because I don't argue with the Lord getting up when it's warm. It's when it's cold in the house where the enemy starts talking to me. But I find myself praying more now than previous years. Because God is going to wrap this thing up, brothers and sisters, but he's holding back the winds for us. But if we continue to be simple, to be slothful, and to be presumptuous, guess what? We will hang ourselves with those our own chains and fetters that Christ came to break us free from. Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works shall be." You see, there are truths in the Word of God that people will laugh at and mock at. When you begin to talk about things like country living, people call you a fanatic. When you begin to uplift the health message, they say you don't need that. When you begin to say, listen, this is the remnant church, people say, don't boast so loud. And when you're trying to uplift truth, you will see these three individuals giving their own opinion, won't you? Yes, you will. Let's go to a couple more verses. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. See how much God loves us. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." We have already been warned that a national Sunday law is coming, haven't we? We've already been warned that every earthly support will be cut off, haven't we? We've already been warned about these things. We have been told that our characters must reflect the lovely Christ Jesus. We have been told that there's going to be a little time of Jacob's trouble and a great time of Jacob's trouble. We have been told step by step what will take place. What are we doing about it? As we've been going from the outer court into the holy and off into the holy of holies, we are to walk in lockstep in unison. We are to keep rank. Because if we fall out of line, guess what? There go I. This morning I was talking about keeping in rank and staying in order with heaven. And my father was in the military. And in the military, they have to march on step and in order. And I remember asking my dad, I said, "Dad, what happens if somebody in the middle of the line when you guys are walking, what if that person just decides to go left or go right?" He says, "Everybody that's following him is going to follow him." So if one person is off, he takes, guess what, a multitude with him. This is why we need to individually see if what we are saying is true. I need to know what I'm standing on, don't I? I can't rely on Brother Joseph. I can't rely on any man, even if they got a title. Lord have mercy. I must find these things out for myself to see if they be true or not. And so, brothers and sisters, I challenge you to taste and see that the Lord is good. In our last verse, let's turn over to John chapter 13 and verse 19. John chapter 13 and verse 19. Jesus Christ himself says, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." Has there been enough events happening in the world for us to believe that the testimonies that God gave to this church are true? Amen. Has there been enough events? They have, haven't they? All you have to do is pick up Great Controversy, and it's almost like you're reading 2017. It's right there, clear as day. We cannot afford to be in one of those three categories of those three stooges. Because if we do, brothers and sisters, we will push back and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come. But he will not force you. Again, all of the truth that we have, brothers and sisters, all of the truth that we have, that God has given to his remnant church, no other church has. God has given us an open window to the future. He has even given us step-by-step things that we need to do and prepare for. If God is calling and asking you to do something, do it, please. If God has placed it on your heart, it's time to give, give. If God has placed it on your heart, it's time to move, move. If God has placed it on your heart, it's time to go knock on your neighbor's door. Go do it. Because time is running out. And I warn you, I give you caution. Stay away from simple, slothful, and presumptuous. And if they're dwelling in our heart, evict them. They don't pay rent well anyways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this brief devotion to remind us, Lord, that we are in a war and Satan does not play fair. Sometimes he will use our own brothers and sisters who we love, who they themselves might not know some of the things that they say.